Africa is for Africans, Asia is for Asians, white countries are for everybody. This is a violation of the United Nations Convention Against Genocide.
An unrelenting stream of immigration, non-stop.
Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century.
Fact of the matter is, the UK is never going to be white again.
The biggest genocide in human history.
Us, but they can't refute us. It's the Fight White Genocide Podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff.
Welcome to the Fight White Genocide Podcast with Laura, Ken, and Jeff, where we talk about whatever we think is important in the global struggle against white genocide. This is podcast number 11, recorded May 28th, 2019. Today's topic is routine white supremacy. How are you doing, Laura?
Hey, Jeff. I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Good. How are you, Ken?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good.
All right. We get accused of being white supremacists when we talk about maybe white people should have human rights. These anti-whites say, well, you think white people are better? But the fact is, everybody assumes white moral superiority. And I think once that's stated, see examples everywhere. And Bob Whitaker did a, what he called a porch talk on an audio segment.
Mm-hmm. The untrained this. Eye.
The untrained eye, yep. And we're going to play a little bit of that. Here we go.
Now, if the black race were threatened, if Africa were threatened with massive third world immigration, white people would be expected to be worried about it. After all, the black race in its homeland is being threatened with genocide. If China were taking in vast numbers of immigrants, and they didn't want to, the average Chinese didn't want to, which I can guarantee you wouldn't, we would all be expected, as white people, to worry about it. After all, this is genocide. But the one thing that never occurs to anybody is, if you say to a non-white, the white race is threatened, the one thing you do not expect is for him to sympathize with that. White people were not expected to simply accept the disappearance of any other race. The idea that any non-white race could possibly have any sympathy with genocide against the white race, with us who oppose it, is ridiculous. Why? Well, because we don't consider non-whites to be quite human. Everybody raised in Western society has this blind spot. They could not imagine that anyone who is not white could have the sort of sympathy a white person would be expected to have. What I'm talking about is everybody else is looking at the world with a trained eye. And so they don't see this rather obvious point that when you say that non-whites simply cannot be concerned about other races, their very existence, you're saying they're not quite human.
I mean, he's pretty much spot on. It explains why nobody expects Asians to have open borders and embrace diversity in their countries. Nobody expects Africans to have open borders and you know, offer free health care and free education. Nobody expects non-whites to have loyalty to humanity. This whole concept of loyalty to humanity is exclusively a white idea.
Yeah, we're supposed to care about Palestinians or the Israelis for that matter, but nobody's expected to care about white people having any particular territory.
What we just heard from there was from Bob Whitaker, and he was the white genocide mantra creator, as most of our listeners probably already know, and that's what we base all of our work off of. And you know, nobody can explain it quite like Bob Whitaker can.
We all know that if all the policies that are being forced upon white countries, you know, the massive immigration, the forced assimilation, the demoralization, all of these things were happening to, let's say, Uganda, we would see an outcry from white people about what is happening and calling it genocide. You know, Sean Penn would be handcuffing himself to something and crying about it and demanding everybody take notice of it. And there would be a lot of white celebrities that would follow suit and do that. But when it's happening to white countries, only white countries, and every white country, nobody bats an eye. Nobody expects non-whites to give a rat's ass about white people. But white people are expected and assumed by everyone, including non-whites. Everybody just assumes that whites are morally superior. And whites are expected to have some kind of loyalty to humanity. Meanwhile, humanity has no loyalty to white people at all.
Yeah, nobody ever blames non-whites for their actions or for the conditions they live in. One way or another, they blame white people. Blacks have low test scores, it's white people's fault. If they have high crime rates, it's white people's fault.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, white people get blamed for things hundreds of years ago. If non-whites fabricate racism, get caught red-handed in hoaxing racism, and burn down St. Louis, nobody says a word about it. We all pretend that it was like a herd of elephants just went through St. Louis and caused all that. We don't think that these are conscious human beings with any agency or understanding. We just act like it was blameless animals that did it.
They treat them exactly like we treat animals doing the same thing.
It's their human rights. Are they claiming that this, you know, that it's some human rights violation for brown people to live in brown countries? And yet, you know, and it's their human rights to have access to white people and what white people have created. It's unreal that this, you know, the state of this is that white people just have no rights. That we must be forced to live in brown third world countries.
If you think that, yeah, the only way a non-white can have a decent life is living next to a white person, then obviously you think whites are superior. If you think access to white people is a human right, you would only think that if you thought whites were superior and we emanate some kind of wellness field around us, you know, that everybody else can bask in.
Yeah, there was a guy on Facebook that I know who recently posted something. He said, all the righties are showing their fake morality for unborn children while simultaneously lobbying to send immigrant children back to their deaths.
Yeah.
This is... he's saying that living in a brown country is a death sentence. This is the kind of routine... respectable white supremacy. Nobody even, like, I was probably the only one that looked at that post and saw it for what it was. And this guy is essentially saying that white people are somehow superior and that we have some obligation to take care of brown people because living in brown countries is somehow a death sentence. Yeah. He believes it's a death sentence for brown people to live among each other.
Yeah, but we can live with them just fine, yeah.
Yeah.
We're some godlike creatures that can import unlimited numbers of these and everything, and they won't create those conditions here. Yeah. Because we're just so superior that we can prevent that.
All humans basically, you know, have a human right to food, water, shelter, and white people. These are criteria for survival, apparently, and... that's just what they think.
Yeah, they, you know, we had an interaction with an accountant not so long ago in Charlotte, and he was talking about, I think he had some sort of understanding of our politics via our immigration lawyer. Anyway, he was telling us about how, you know, that how great immigration was, and he had this client that had 50 crews, and he was working 50 crews because he had all these, you know, these non-whites working for him. And anyway, we talked at one point, you know, you're not there, you're not paying the guy to talk about politics, you're paying, you know, to do your accounting. But at one point I made the comment of, you know, nobody wants to live in Guatemala, you know, they're all coming here because they don't want to live there. So nobody wants to live in a brown third world. You know, and he was blaming, you know, we were just talking about this, how everything is white people's faults. Mm-hmm. You know, he was blaming then, you know, he was saying that, oh, well, we ruined, you know, we ruined that country. And so now, you know, it's our fault. So justifying them coming here. And then he was saying that we are to blame because we don't assimilate. You know, we have these insular areas and we, you know, white flight, i.e., yes, nobody likes multiculturalism and diversity, white's flight. And he was blaming again on white people and that we don't assimilate well enough into these immigrated communities. And it's our fault that we don't want to live in that, you know, yeah. Like.
So if we all moved down to Guatemala, if we colonized Guatemala, then it would be okay, I guess, by his reasoning.
You know, that where is the mind? Exactly. You know, this is this mindset, the same thing, what you just said then before, Ken, and nobody would think like this. And nobody thinks in the same terms as what Bob just pointed out in the start of that podcast. Nobody's thinking in these terms, you know, that we have to change the mindset of our people to start seeing.
To start, at the very least, I mean, we need to convince white people to start seeing non-whites as fully human and start having these expectations of them. You know, a non-white that doesn't care about white genocide, that doesn't care about genocide of another race. What's wrong with you? Why don't you care about genocide of another race? If this was happening to brown people, we all know white people would be saying something.
I think your flip there, what you just said before, was the perfect point of that. Is that liberal or whoever that guy that you were commenting on that said that comment about, you know, it's a death sentence. Well, that's pointing out their contradiction. That's pointing out their supremacy. That's pointing out the fact, you know, that how they're, you know, it's the flip of it, isn't it? Like that's the...
That is a brilliant,
and that's only, as you said, only like us, we would see this, and he needs to be called out on that. So what are you saying? So, you know, you're saying all brown countries are failures and nobody wants to live there, it's a death sentence? Well, when you flood them all in here and make it, you know, into one big brown melting pot, what do you think's going to happen? You know, we're not some magic dirt here.
Yeah, I mean, that's just it. It's, their idea is that nobody should have to live in a country full of brown people. Except white people. I mean, that's basically their idea. And
everyone gets to live with whites. Everyone gets to live with whites except white.
Except white people.
Right.
But white people are wealthy. White countries are wealthy, but that's only because they exploit non-whites, and non-white countries are poor because they're exploited by white people. So if we get rid of all white people, then every country will be wealthy, right? Even though reality tells us exactly the opposite.
Right. Yep. Well, that's it. Well, let's keep listening to what Bob has to say.
I noticed, I've listened to a lot of these documentaries and so forth about animals and how innocent they are. They talk about, you can't blame a lion for strangling a deer to death. He's just following his normal instincts, but they're basically good. They follow nature. We always hear that. One day, as I was coming in, I heard someone saying that same thing. They live with nature. They may seem cruel to us, but they're very virtuous beings. It turned out they weren't talking about lions or tigers or bears. They were talking about some non-white group that you may think what they were doing was cruel, but actually they're just following nature. The more of these things I listen to, the more I notice that we talk about non-whites in exactly the same way we talk about animals. They are following their instincts. They're not expected to rise above their instincts.
What you just said there about lions and all that, it reminds me, like, when you watch, like, mainstream television, sometimes you'll see these UNICEF commercials with the real sad music, and it's showing brown people and telling you that you can pay 30 cents a day and save a brown kid or something like that. And these commercials are narrated, the music, the narration, the words, the phrases, they are nearly identical to these animal abuse commercials.
The like SPCA commercials? Yeah.
Yes, they are identical. It's almost like they have the exact same producer. Whoever is producing these commercials on animal abuse and sheltered animals are also producing these UNICEF commercials. And the people that are doing this, it never even occurs to them, this comparison that they are making. And these kind of commercials have had an influence in society and how people are viewing non-whites. And this is part of the reason why so many whites actually do think of non-whites as basically a squirrel or a giraffe or some kind of blameless animal. And, you know, not of any agency or intelligence or something like that. You can do this. You can go on YouTube and look up like a UNICEF commercial. Then go and look up an ASPCA or something for yes. Animal abuse. Watch these commercials. They are identical. You could swap the music, and sometimes you can even swap the narration, and the commercial is the exact same. There's no difference.
The example I liked to look at is Tamra Sinsik, who was attacked about a year ago in London. A fashion chief executive. Now, why you need a fashion executive if looks don't matter, I don't know. But anyway, a fashion chief executive attacked by an unwell 6-foot man, which she later identified as a brown man, on a busy tube carriage has slammed two men who moved seats and left her to defend herself. Tamra Sinsik was kicked and threatened while traveling to a business meeting in central London yesterday. So what happened was she was attacked by a brown person. And she didn't blame the brown person. She blamed there was two white men just happened to be nearby, and she blamed them. So she treated the brown person exactly like she would treat any animal that had attacked her.
Right. So, it's exactly what Bob was saying, she can't see them as anything other than blameless. They don't have any agency. He didn't know what he was doing. He was just following nature. And the white people that were around there, well, they should have came in and acted like humans. There's another instance.
She said the fashion CEO is keen to stress she does not blame this man, who she describes as being 6 foot tall and of Southeast Asian descent. She says she believes he needs medical help, but added the incident was terrifying. But anyway.
It's like that. There's a story. I think the woman was like with the Red Cross or something like that, or I forget who, but she was in Haiti and she was raped and she blamed white men for it.
Yeah,
of course. The perpetrators were non-white, but she blamed white people for it. Because, you know, in her mind, the non-white is just following nature. He's not, you know, he doesn't have any agency. And white people should have done more for him. And that's why he did what he did. I mean, apparently there's something about poverty that makes people want to rape. I don't know. I've never heard that. But that's a narrative that we're told here. If he just had a lot of money, he wouldn't have raped her or something. Very strange.
Yeah. I mean, you just see it everywhere, this attitude that we have to take care of non-whites like pets. That they can't take care of themselves. George Will, everybody's saying we got to adopt non-whites. Mm-hmm. Okay. Trump keeps tweeting about unemployment rate for blacks. Unemployment rate is super low for Hispanics. But he never tweets about white unemployment rate, does he?
No.
Nobody needs to care about white people. Even though they're, you know, the people that put him in office.
No, exactly.
It's just, you know, nobody expects anybody to care about white people. We're all supposed to care about non-whites.
Non-whites, exactly. Yeah.
And that's kind of a core here of why when you talk about white genocide, a lot of people just think the notion that white people could disappear is absurd.
Mm.
That white people could somehow be subjected to something that would destroy them. This is all part, again, of the routine racism, the routine white supremacy, that they just view that whites are an omnipotent force, that there's no way you could get rid of white people. Meanwhile, at the same time, you have people bragging that whites are being forced to become minorities in Europe and America, and they're bragging about the brown future in white countries. And then at the same time, they're saying it's absurd that you think that white people could be subjected to what we're just bragging about. I mean, that's all part of it. Like, because I will get that with anti-whites, is not necessarily anti-whites, but people on the fringe, is that when you introduce white genocide to them, they just can't even think of white people as anything other than some kind of superior group to non-whites.
Yeah, in charge, in power.
Right, right.
They don't take non-whites seriously at all as a threat. You know?
Exactly.
The only enemies we take seriously are other whites.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's probably why Russia. Thinking about that now, as you say that, it's probably why Russia is the only permissible enemy on our media, because they're white. So we're running out of enemies.
They know it'll play to white people, yeah.
We're running out of enemies.
They regard them as a serious threat.
Mm-hmm.
They won't regard anyone else as a serious threat.
Yep.
It's just, you know, something about white psychology, I guess. We think we'll never die. We think we're superior, and that no other people are a threat, and that we'll always run things, and we'll always be here. You know, colonialism at first was just a way to make money, but when people started looking at it, they said, why are we doing this? One of the excuses, one of the justifications for it was, well, we're going to uplift these brown people. We're going to make their lives better, take up the white man's burden. But these anti-whites, they're doing exactly the same thing now. We're supposed to take care of non-whites. The impulse is exactly the same. You know, it's white people's job to save everybody else. But now they're doing it in a way that ends up destroying white people. So it ends up, being counterproductive. And I don't know if pointing that out to white people is going to make them change their minds. I mean, we can't help anybody if we're not here, right?
Right.
But the thing is, we're not under any obligation to do that anyway, though. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe white people are just always trying to save the planet. We just have to find a good substitute for them. We got to go to the stars. We can't go to the stars with all these parasites, you know, hanging on to us. So eventually the sun's going to burn out. So maybe we got to stay separate so we can save humanity, huh? Something like that.
I mean, it's the white people that are discussing all the global warming issues and environment issues and all these issues that these white anti-whites claim are far more important than white genocide. But meanwhile, you know, they argue in favor of white genocide, they argue in favor of destroying any ability to deal with the topics that they feel are important. Yeah. Who's going to be around to save the planet, to save the environment after you get rid of white people? Who do you think is going to pick up that torch? Do you think it's going to be Omar or what's her name, Cortez? Do you think they're really going to pick it up? No. I mean, all Cortez is doing right now by talking about that stuff is just trying to get white people on her side. She doesn't really give a rat's ass about that. Hispanics don't really care. And personally, I don't really care about these issues, but for people that do, it's important that white people stay around so that these issues can be addressed, because there's going to be nobody else to address them when white genocide has been completed.
But keep in mind, though, we're talking about things that are already in white people here. They're just taking advantage of this stuff, of white psychology.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't make white people this way.
Mm.
Okay, so just keep that in mind. So just saying, oh, it's the Jews, you know, it's their fault. Well, no, it's not their fault that the white people are the way they are. You know, we have to keep this in mind in deciding what tactics to use here. If this has happened before, this happened in India. India browned out. Persia. To a certain extent, Rome did. Egypt. You know, this has happened before with or without Jews, so, you know, just keep that in mind.
You will notice that every time we look down on another group, we have this sort of idea that we always have a stereotype to protect ourselves from realizing that we simply consider them inferior. Let's start with animals again. Nobody wants to be called an animal. Well, a lot of people say they do, but the fact is they don't want to be looked on as just one more animal. So how do we cover the fact that we consider a dog to be an inferior being to a human being? We talk about dogs' loyalty. We talk about their following their natural instincts. We used to talk about how man is the only animal who kills for pleasure. I think we've gotten over that one. But we always talk about how good animals are. We put them in their place, but we do it by saying how good they are. Now, if you don't have a trained eye, as I say, and you listen to the average documentary about non-white societies, you find that you really can't tell the difference between the way we talk about a non-white society and the way we talk about animals. But we always say they're good.
Yeah, and it goes back to that UNICEF commercial kind of thing I was talking about, really.
Yeah.
I mean, he was pretty much spot on about the documentary stuff, at least from my perspective. I've always noticed, like, when they talk about a lot of groups that we would have considered primitive or whatever, like Native Americans, is that the narrative of Native Americans is that they are wise. They have a secret wisdom.
Yep.
And we do this a lot with a lot of groups that were, you know, considered primitive a long time ago, that they have some kind of secret wisdom that we as whites just can't comprehend.
Yeah, they're actually very sophisticated.
They are.
They would live in perfect harmony with the environment. And,
exactly. And have a deep wisdom.
But it's really, on the one level, it's self-deprecating. But on another level, it's patronizing. It just assumes white superiority again. A comfortable white superiority.
Right.
Jeff?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go back to the original example. When we're looking at a dog, we don't say dog's inferior. We say they're superior. We feel comfortably superior to animals. Therefore, we don't like to say they're inferior. That's assumed. Routine racism, which is what I'm talking about, is assumed. It's an assumption. The trained eye overlooks it. We are very, very complimentary when we are talking about someone to whom we feel comfortably superior. So, Jesse Jackson is a great idealist. O.J. Simpson is just following his instincts. Sammy Davis Jr. was just following his instincts. Nobody questions that. Because white people feel comfortably superior to non-whites. That's where it comes from. This has a very wide sweep. For example, when we talk about the Chinese, the Japanese, or something, I always notice this sort of, they're wise, they're honest, they're everything but human. There's always this image of the Oriental wise man and the deep roots of the Oriental culture and this, that, and the other, and on and on and on. Well, Shakespeare talked about that around 1600, and he was talking to a largely illiterate audience, and everybody understood exactly what he was saying. He said, "Methinks that thou protestest too much." So, whites feel comfortably superior. The next question you ask is, why are white people trying to do away with themselves if they feel so superior? It's because this superiority is a moral superiority. It is a self-denying superiority. For example, everybody gets upset with you when you become, quote, selfish, unquote, because you like the white race. This is, quote, selfish, unquote. If you give things away, you are being charitable toward other groups. You give your women away, if you give your existence away, all these things are sort of considered superior moral traits. Let me remind you, no one is ever going to say that any person without a white skin is going to have the slightest sympathy with anybody with a white skin who is worried about the disappearance of people with white skins. It never even occurs to them. Why? Because they're inferior. They go by their instincts. They're not supposed to be like us.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But Bob says the next question you ask is, why are white people trying to do away with themselves if they feel so superior? And his answer is because it's a moral superiority. It is a self-denying superiority. And I'm not sure, you know, that's completely satisfying answer to me, because you could just as easily say, well, if whites are superior, don't they need to stay separate and, you know, so they can stay white, so they can be around to be superior? So,
well, I think a lot of it has to do with these white anti-whites romanticizing their destruction, almost like out of a Hollywood movie or something, that they're sacrificing.
Didn't Bob talk about that, about it being a double-edged sword, superior and self-destructive, you know?
That's what it turns out, and maybe it's just that's what superiority sort of degenerates into eventually, is self-destruction, like the guy, the white god in Prometheus. He drank that stuff, and then he disintegrated and jumped in the water, and that he sacrificed himself to create life on Earth, I guess. That's what the narrative was.
Yeah, and I think a lot of white anti-whites just have this romantic idea about it that, oh, we'll destroy ourselves, and then finally white people will get recognized as this godlike creature or something that sacrificed themselves as basically a Jesus-esque race that sacrificed themselves for humanity or some weird shit that they build up in their mind.
Either they just don't think whites will die, or that our death will create some permanent better situation. You know?
Yes. I've had white anti-whites flat out tell me, it's like, you've got no faith in white people, man. If you think that white people could be subjected to genocide, you've got no faith. You think whites are inferior. I've had anti-whites say stuff, and you guys probably have too.
Yeah.
Like on Twitter, where they say stuff like that.
Exactly what you just pointed out again with that, sending them to death to live in a brown country. That is where we need to encourage all of our listeners, pro-whites out there, to start thinking in these terms, to start seeing the contradictions that these anti-whites are putting out there and calling them out, you know, constantly calling them out on these contradictions and making it known that what is happening is white genocide. You know, you got to always bring it back to white genocide.
We are kind of going off on a different topic than white survival when we discuss this, but we're doing that because the term now, they've migrated away from words like racist, and now they're talking about white supremacy, quote unquote. And so we're taking on that term. This will probably be the only time we do it, at least as far as an entire podcast dedicated to the topic. We'll see. But that's the reason we're doing it. And it's important for people to point out these contradictions. But always, like Laura said, always bring it back to white survival. I don't care what the topic is. If it's dealing with race, always bring it back to that. And you can't go wrong. You're always maintaining a moral high ground. If you use our talking points, you're not going to lose any argument on this topic. You're just going to have more people questioning what it is that they believe. It's not about converting people immediately. Some people will be able to see our points and figure out what's going on, and immediately it'll click in their mind what's going on. But most people are not going to be that way. It's going to have to be something that's repeated to them over and over again, and they have to have numerous people repeat it to them over and over before they really start questioning what it is they believe.
Don't be afraid to repeat and get them to answer. Make them answer. We're the interrogators.
Yeah. You can't be afraid to repeat. And you don't really want to delve into intellectual conversations, because then it just takes you off course onto other things. You just need to repeat these main points. If you're someone like us that is concerned about white genocide and that's your focus, you always have to lean it back to white survival in every conversation.
And they'll, you know, they love it, right? We've seen it before. They love to get off and take it into intellectual ground,
yes.
You know, anything that that makes them sound smart. But if you just hold them down onto a single point that proves what is happening and the only thing that we care about, you know, is our white survival. What were the three ones, guys? We're concerned about our survival. We want the right to discuss it, period.
Period.
Yeah. And that's the most important point, the third one, period. Nothing more, nothing less. Do you have anything? Did you want to wrap up quickly, Jeff?
Well, I guess what is the point of what we're doing here, as Ken said? They accuse us of white superiority and white supremacism, you know. One way to deal with that is, well, everybody assumes white superiority. You assume white superiority. We know from experience that this stops them dead in their tracks. They have no response to it. It just shuts them down. So it must work.
That's it. Yep, exactly.
If you like this kind of content and want it to continue, please subscribe to our channel. Also, consider making a donation by going to fightwhitegenocide.com and hitting the donate button.
Well, that's it. We'll pick it up again next week. Join us for another topic.
Absolutely.
We'll look forward to that. Bye.
All right, bye.